So can you just tell a few words about yourself, introduce yourself, how you get to the situation you are in?
Okay, I'm Victor Agosto. I joined the Army of the United States in August of 2005. I was sent to Iraq in October of 2006, and I stayed there till November of 2007. And while I was in Iraq, I turned against both wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And now my unit is sending me to Afghanistan, or wants to send me to Afghanistan, but I've already told them that I am not going to go and that I am not going to obey any orders supporting my unit's deployment to Afghanistan.
Okay, well, that sounds like a quick decision or easy decision, but I don't think so. It's so easy. So just can you explain somebody in Hungary what it means that you say you don't obey any orders to send you to Afghanistan? What's the consequences? Are you a professional military man or voluntary man?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what the consequences are going to be, but the worst case scenario is that I'll get court-martialed and I'll be sentenced to a couple of years in prison, and that I'll get a bad discharge from the military, which would make it somewhat difficult to find employment, to find a job in the United States.
Does it mean that when you say that you can be court-martialed or discharged from the military, that when you say that you don't obey any order to send you to Afghanistan, but it's still you want to stay in the military, just not deployed in Afghanistan?
I really have no desire to stay in the military. I really don't see us getting into any good wars anytime soon, so no, I really don't want to make this a career, no.
Because the question is that, like, when you join the army, I don't know exactly how it works in the United States, but you should sign a kind of contract, I don't know, for 2, 3, 5 years?
Yes. So I signed one for 4 years.
4 years. So your contract up to 2010?
Well, when I joined in August 2005, and really, in the United States, all first contracts in the military are 8 years, but in my contract the first 4 are active and then the last 4 are inactive. I was supposed to get out in August of 2000 of this year, but the Army has chose to keep me until I go to Afghanistan and then come back. But even if I were to get out, the Army could call me back afterwards.
So in the contract it states that they can change, like, the deployment?
Yes. Yes.
And you have no right to say no or yes?
No, I do not.
Okay. Then my first question would be why you did join the army. What was your idea? Why you decided? Because probably you didn't know already in 2000, it was 5?
Yes, 2005.
2005 that there is a war going on, so probably you have a good chance to be sent to a war zone. So why did you join?
Yes, I knew I would be sent to a war zone. I really believed that we were actually going to go over there to fight terrorism to make America a safer place. And I also was just tired of being in school. I wanted to go do something. I was tired of sitting in classrooms. I wanted to see the world. And that's why I joined. But then I came to realize that we weren't doing anything good in Iraq, and we're definitely not doing anything good in Afghanistan either.
Okay, so let's get to the point. You say we were not, I mean, and you refer we, I guess you refer the U.S. military, we
yes,
were not
the
doing good in Iraq. So what is your experience? What you did do, or your unit did do? Why is it not like what you imagined, or what it is said what the U.S. Army is supposed to do there?
Well, I actually was never in any kind of danger. I stayed inside the base the entire time, and I helped set up communications networks. I helped set up computers so that they can be put on the network.
So you were not like combat zone?
No, I was not in the combat zone, no. And I never had to think about shooting my rifle or anything. I just kind of came to this conclusion while I was there. You know, I read some books. I thought about it, and it just, none of it made any sense. And then I started feeling very guilty about my involvement, because, I mean, even though I didn't shoot anybody, I know that what I did contributed to human suffering and the death of innocent people.
That would be like an important point. I mean, because it's very difficult, I mean, to judge from here, from another country, which we are actually in a line with the United States. There was a few hundred Hungarians went there, but not really combating. But, I mean, your experience, even if you're not in the combat, is different. But have you got any chance to talk others, friends in the military who did take part in also military actions?
Oh, yes.
So what is what you have been told or you have heard from them?
I mean, they feel the same way that I do, except that they actually, you know, have like a post-traumatic stress disorder from their experiences. They come back and they're just not normal anymore. They have a lot of problems when they get back, you know, from, you know, just the things that they had to do. You know, I definitely wouldn't want that for myself.
Okay. And, I mean, this is a decision, like, which anyway, you probably know and definitely know that there could be serious consequences.
Yes, so, I fully expect serious consequences, yes.
So when you thought it over, what was the main reason you decided to do this, to disobey, even when you joined the military? You know that this is the one thing they usually, no army can accept easily, that somebody disobey orders. So what was the main reason? Just because you felt that this is not the war you were supposed to fight?
That it's wrong.
Why do you think it's a wrong war, from your perspective?
Because, I mean, we're killing people over there, and we have no real justification for doing it.
I'm sorry, but like just trying to get the other side arguments. They would say that you have to get rid of one of the bloodiest dictatorship of Saddam Hussein. You were fighting there, even maybe not directly, but your units or other units, to get rid of Al-Qaeda or all these people who put danger the whole world, security, not just the United States, but all the democracy in the world. So it was not true then?
I would, if those were really our reasons, then our actions might be justified, but they're not. I mean, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan aren't about making the American people safer. Like, Iraq and Afghanistan, the occupations fuel the insurgency in those countries. Those people, I mean, the people there hate us more because of what we're doing. And it's simply because we're not there to help them. The United States is there just to expand its power, its control. The United States is an empire.
And if you have a magic stick and you could do what you do think that's just what you have done, what you would do, instead of what the United States is doing currently in Iraq and Afghanistan?
I mean, I think we should pull out. We should pull out and maybe replace it with an international force or something, but I really don't think that we're really helping the people of Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, over a million Iraqis are dead, several tens of thousands of Afghans are dead. I mean, this is not better than Saddam Hussein or the Taliban. We are the new dictators of Iraq and Afghanistan.
And if somebody listens to you, what you are saying, like former comrades, former military friends, or those who were with you in Iraq, what do you think, how do you feel about this, what you are saying? Because in a way they could say that you are telling them also that you are engaged in an unjust war. You are just doing the same as we were supposed to fight against.
Yes, a lot of them agree with me. A lot of them can understand my perspective, even if they don't necessarily agree with me. I've never told any of them that I think that. I think a lot of them really do believe in what they're doing, like I used to believe in what I was doing. But I mean, I don't think it really helps. It helps to tell people, oh, you're horrible for doing this. It doesn't really win them over to your side or anything. I mean, my unit's going to go over there, and I hope that they all come back safely. But, I mean, I don't support what they're doing. I don't think it's right.
Which I was also referring that many times, if somebody, for matter of consciousness or matter of thinking something is not just and making a decision, even if it's a right decision for many people, for other people, it's just because you do this, they can treat you as a traitor, as a betrayer. How do you see that?
Everybody in my unit knows what I'm doing, and none of them have really stated that opinion to me. I mean, I'm sure some of them feel that way, but none of them have come up to me and said that. I mean, I think that that most of the American military is against the war in Iraq, and some are against the war in Afghanistan, and almost none are really enthusiastic about either war.
Okay, just because of your name, can you tell something about your origins, like first, second, third generation Americans, because it sounds like Latin American?
Yeah. Yes, yes. I was born in Miami, and my father is Puerto Rican, and my mother is Honduran.
Okay.
So they met in the United States.
I was just asking this because I've read articles and news about the U.S. Army deployment in Iraq, Afghanistan. There were many stories that lots of people, like immigrants, could join the army even without having legal papers.
Yep. That's right. So that's correct.
So for me, can you explain it? Because for me, it's very hardly understandable that there is a country which tries to get like walls against illegal immigrations officially, strict laws, getting people deported, and at the same time your military having illegal immigrants, then it doesn't matter if you fight and die for the United States. How is it?
Yes, it's very strange. I mean, like, people who are not citizens of the United States can fight in its wars. I mean, and that's just a matter of being useful to power. Once if you are willing to do that for them, then they're willing to give you citizenship. Yes, it doesn't make sense. You're absolutely right. I don't understand it either.
Yeah, I mean, that's one point. It does make sense from a military point
from their
of view.
Perspective, yes, because they just need more manpower. Yes, and they, you know.
Just I don't know how can you do that when to speak like a just war and rightfulness, respect of law, civil society, democratic values, when from one side you say you are illegal, you don't have right to stay here, we can deport you even after living 5, 10, 15 years in the United States, and at the same time you are using the same people just to fight for the war, and then you say, okay, if you fight for us, then it's okay.
Yes, it's a huge double standard, yes.
Okay, thank you. Would be also an important question, knowing the situation that you can face court-martial, can face other kind of measures, is there any organization or people who try to help you, who try to give you, in case, maybe legal assistance, maybe financial assistance, or public support?
Yes, I have all of those things, and I get them from various organizations in Central Texas and throughout the United States. Basically just peace groups of different kinds. There's a local coffee house here in the city of Killeen, which is just outside of Fort Hood, which is where I'm stationed, that provides support for soldiers who don't necessarily agree with the war or have a lot of problems from coming back from the war. And that place is called Under the Hood Cafe, and its website is www.underthehoodcafe.org. Courage to Resist is another organization that's helping me. They have set up a legal defense fund at www.couragetoresist.org/victor, and I have a lawyer, and basically they're raising funds for my legal defense.
How many people like you are, we know, like people, soldiers who decided not to obey orders, not to take part in these wars? Few dozens, hundreds? Do you have any estimation? How many of you?
It's
how many
difficult.
Victors can be?
It's difficult to say. A lot of people don't do it publicly the way I'm doing it. A lot of times people will just leave. They'll just stop going to work. They'll go to some other country. They'll hide. And people don't know what the reasons for them leaving are. Maybe they have personal problems. Maybe they're against the war. Maybe, you know, people have different motivations. So it's difficult to know how many of those people left because they're opposed to the war. There are a couple people that have gone AWOL and have been public about their reasons for going AWOL. And there are some who have just said that the war is unjust and have decided not to go. The way I'm going about it is different in that I still go to work every day. I just don't do things that I see supporting the war. Like I tell them, okay, I'm not going to do any of this. So they say, okay, go sweep the motor pool, which is where all the trucks are. So I sweep the floor there, and I just keep sweeping, or I pull weeds. You know, all the things that soldiers don't like to do. Those are basically the things that I enjoy doing because I know that they don't support the war as much as what I was doing before.
So it means that in reality, in practice, you are still like visiting the military as like your workplace. Just said when you got an order that, I don't know, this day your unit and you will be deployed in Afghanistan, you said, no, I don't go.
Yes, but I also have not been helping them prepare the equipment to go over there. I haven't gone through certain procedures that I need to go through before I go, where, you know, there's medical checks and legal things that you have to take care of before you leave, and I refuse to do all those things. I'm basically useless. Yes.
Useless from other perspective, yeah. I would be a bit interesting, like, the interpersonal relations. So when you said first this without going to public, what was the first reactions of like your superiors when you said it, I don't do this?
I think they're confused. They were confused at first. They didn't really understand. I've always done what I've been told. I've always, you know, I've been, you know, what they call a good soldier. So they were just completely shocked by the way I was going about things. And I guess they don't really understand why I'm staying around. They don't understand why I don't just leave, you know, because it would make things a lot easier for them. Because with me being there, you know, like, other people see what I'm doing. And that creates a real problem for them.
Yeah, I know this situation from a civil perspective of a working place. I had something similar, not disobeying military orders, but other kind of orders. And I had the same feelings that usually people cannot cope with this. They cannot understand, like, definitely that you stay there and you say certain things are not just, so you cannot do it. And after, did you get any threats from them when they realized that it's like a very serious decision? They try to warn you that, you know, what consequences you will face, your family will be ashamed of you, your village, your town people.
From the beginning, I told them, as soon as I told them that I wasn't going to go to Afghanistan, I thought I was going to get sent to jail or something. I thought, you know, this is it, it's over. But no, I don't know how it works. I guess they really, when I told them that, they couldn't send me to jail. I guess that's not how it works. You know, I had to either start refusing all orders or just run away or just actually not be there when the unit goes to Afghanistan. I guess for whatever reason, the law, I guess, doesn't let them punish me at that point. So,
your reasoning are, I think, very sound and can be convincing for many people. I'm just saying this not for the military, but are you planning to be like a public voice of those soldiers who decided because of similar reasons that not to go to these places, not to take part in unjust war?
Yes. I mean, it's the consuming passion of my life. That's what I'm dedicated to right now, ending these wars. And I think that I'm in a unique position to help bring that about.
Okay, well, I just could wish you lots of luck and offer all of our help. The small radio in Hungary, but also dedicated to defend, at least by words, those who are standing up for rights and just things. And I hope we can be in touch also with you and others if you get knowledge of other people who are also speaking
out. Yes. As a matter of fact, there's another person in my unit who a few days ago announced that he was not going to go to Afghanistan also.
So I think, Victor, you will get more threats, I think, and more direct warning after, because finally nobody of your unit will be deployed.
I hope that's what it comes down to.
Okay.
That's the idea.
It would be very important. I think more publicity you get, more people will really think it over, and probably there are many, that's why I've said in my understanding there should be many Victors in the United States Army and others' army also. Can be involved, and would be very important that at least to have a public debate on these things, and those people who were involved can tell the public what is this war about, not just those who are sending innocent people to die for who knows what kind of cause.
Definitely.
Okay, Victor, so I think it was a big pleasure to meet you least in these waves. I hope that we can meet sometimes, not in a war zone, but somewhere in a more normal civil surroundings. And I do want really to keep in touch. So if you have any development, we have these programs every week, every Monday in Hungarian times between 10 and 12. So should be like around for you, but it's midnight before. But anyway, it's available, the space. So we have 2 hours programming. So if you have any new development, I would be more than happy to give you the chance to speak out for those who cannot speak out.
I look forward to speaking with you again.
Okay. Muchísimas gracias. Thank you very much. If you want to...